Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the JMO Podcast. I'm your host, Taylor Michaels, and our guest this episode, we've got Josh Sheldon on the show for the first time. Josh is a Colorado angler, and he and his fishing buddies and business partners now have gotten together to develop eTournament Fishing. That is a phone app to run catch photo release tournaments. Certainly way more than that. And that's what we get into a lot of in this interview. The app itself and what it offers to the consumers. And I think, you know, as we move forward in the industry, there's a big push, you know, for tournament fishing to utilize these apps, and the catch photo release format is definitely attractive for a lot of reasons in a lot of places. And we touch on a lot of that stuff. As anglers, they're developing an app for anglers. And I think that's important to point out, that they focus on the reliability, the usability, and the integrity. And these guys have done, I believe, to this point, a phenomenal job, and it just continues to evolve and get better. And so that's what we're talking about here. This is a new one, a new guest, Josh Sheldon, a Colorado man. We're talking eTournament Fishing app. Let's get to it.
Are you looking for the perfect winter getaway? Look no further than Minnesota's own Lake of the Woods. Welcome to the walleye capital of the world, where the next hook set could be a big walleye, a delicious sauger, a giant pike, or a state record burbot. But it's not just about the fishing. From cozy resorts to unique bars on the ice, Lake of the Woods offers winter fun for everyone. Plus, the resorts and expert ice fishing guides up there are ready to make your experience easy and unforgettable. Discover the magic of Lake of the Woods. Visit lakeofthewoodsmn.com. That link is in the description of this podcast. Preparing for the upcoming ice fishing season means making great gear choices that will help you maximize your time on the water. That's where Summit Fishing Equipment comes in. The trusted choice for anglers who demand reliable, affordable, and top-quality forward-facing sonar gear and accessories for all the major brands, including Garmin LiveScope, Lowrance Active Target, and Hummingbird Mega Live. Check out their bestseller, the Summit HD CNC Shuttle. It's designed to protect your expensive electronics from harsh winter conditions while keeping everything portable for easy transport. You could pair that up with the lightweight yet robust carbon fiber ice transducer pole and the versatile Summit bag to complete the setup. Crafted from advanced carbon fiber, this forward sonar pole is not only incredibly strong, but also the lightest on the market. Their offerings don't stop at just poles and shuttles. Summit Fishing Equipment offers a full range of bags, mounts, and accessories to customize your fishing rig to your exact specifications. So whether you're a seasoned pro or just getting started, Summit has what you need to improve your experience on the ice. Explore Summit's collection at summitfishingequipment.com. That link is in the description of this podcast. Summit Fishing Equipment is also on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. If you have any fishing memory or a fish that you would like to commemorate with a replica, or you have questions about getting fish replicas done, reach out to Jamie Rizavi from Rizavi Taxidermy Studio in New Rockford, North Dakota. Jamie and his crew do next level work. Here at the JMO headquarters, we are blessed to have so many replicas made by Jamie. Reach out. You can find him on social media or online at rizavitaxidermystudio.com. The link is in the description of this podcast. Check out the Flopbox bait coolers from Flop Industries. The Flopbox 10 and Flopbox 20 are heavy-duty roto-molded bait coolers, fully insulated, which comes into play both summer and winter. The aeration system for minnows and other live bait is fully enclosed and lithium-powered for reliability and durability. The stainless hardware, the removable chill plate, the list goes on of features, but these high-end bait coolers can easily enhance your fishing experience when you consider their ability to keep your bait alive, fresh, and ready to go when you need it. Check out the Flopbox bait coolers and more at flopindustries.com. That link is in the description of this podcast. Get us going, learning who you are. Go ahead.
To start out with, where I come from and how this how I got into all this walleye fishing is it's you know, pretty funny. I'm 48 years old, and so I was born in the 70s, and back then it was a big push from the Midwest. I know you're a Minnesota boy. My family's from Saginaw, Michigan. My family grew up in the township of Saginaw, and so my family came from Michigan. I have an aunt and uncle out here as well that I'm very close with. And back then it was a push to, to populate the Colorado Front Range. And so my parents and my aunt and uncle got drawn to a place called Pueblo, Colorado. And Pueblo's a hardcore steel mill city. It had CF&I steel plant and it's blue collar and, a lot of very large Hispanic and Italian population. And so a very interesting mix of cultures where I grew up. And so in the 70s, my parents moved from Saginaw, Michigan to Colorado just after my aunt and uncle did. And I have two cousins that are a little bit older than me. And they had come out here before. And that was it. We were my family's, version of Saginaw coming west. And so the love for lakes and waters and all of that was ingrained in me because my family was used to the Great Lakes. We were lucky enough that Pueblo, Colorado has the Pueblo Reservoir, which is probably, it's not the biggest lake, but it's one of the biggest reservoirs in the state of Colorado. And probably the most popular as far as recreation goes, as far as size and what it can handle for capacity and things. And Pueblo, for anybody who doesn't know, is about an hour and a half south of Denver. And so we were just far enough south where we didn't get a lot of the Denver group coming down. We'd get in between us is Colorado Springs. We'd get the Colorado Springs people. But, I grew up, the dam was being built while I was being born. And they started to fill, it's on the Arkansas River. So it dams the Arkansas River. So it's one of the few reservoirs in Colorado that is naturally fed by a river. And so they started to fill the lake while I was growing up. And I can remember my dad taking me down. And my dad wasn't a stellar fisherman. We did a lot of, kind of old school type fishing with weights and salmon eggs, catch trout and things like that. And found out about walleye being in this lake, or they've been putting walleye in the lake. And the walleye just took off like crazy because of the fact that the Arkansas fed the lake. And before you know it, there's world-class walleye fishing by the 80s. And that's when I really started to recognize and get my passion for walleye fishing and fishing in general. I grew up pretty poor. Like I said, Pueblo's a pretty blue-collar town, scraping by. My dad worked for the railroad and would get laid off and brought back on and laid off all the time. So, mostly a survival on unemployment. And, as a kid, I just had no idea. We lived about 2 miles from the reservoir out in the middle of nowhere called Pueblo West. And it was cool. And you're going to get me emotional already, buddy, talking about this stuff, but it was good. It was a good childhood. It was a lot of fun. So, and I used to ride my bike down when I was probably, 9 or 10 years old. It was back in the 80s when parents used to let their kids go do things like that. And we'd ride our bikes down to the lake 2 or 3 miles. And my little brother, who's 3 years younger than me, and probably had no business doing any of that. And, and that was our summertime. Our summertime was going to the swimming pool or going down to the lake, depending on where it was. My parents divorced when I was in sixth grade. And so it was just us, we hung out. And that's where I would ride down and the morning to the reservoir, and I'd bring a duffel bag with my tackle box and my fishing rod in my hand across my BMX bike, and would start to fish and would come home with a backpack full of walleyes for my dad to clean when he got home from work. So it was wild. I mean, it was great, right? It was magical. It was before you had to worry about people trying to snatch your kids. And we lived in a very small population. Very small. It was a small closet community to Pueblo. We were about 8-9 miles west of Pueblo on the way up to Canyon City along Highway 50. So, we knew everybody. If you were lucky, somebody would see you riding your bike uphill because it was uphill coming home. And they'd stop and throw your bike in the back of their station wagon and give you a ride home, So that's how I grew up and got into walleye fishing and just had this unbelievable passion for it. And as I got into high school and could start to drive, I got into float tube fishing. I always wanted a boat. My dream was always to have a boat. I used to look at the Bass Pro catalog that would come in the mail once a year, and I couldn't afford really to buy anything out of Bass Pro. Not that it was expensive, that's not what we had money for then. But I loved looking at the boats and all the fishing gear. And we would, you know, I just dream about having a bass boat. That was always just my biggest, man, look at that motor and all those, you know, seats and live well. You got to be kidding me. It was the greatest thing ever. And so I got into float tube fishing, bought a float tube after a Christmas when I think I was about 12 or 13 for $50. And I think I finally just threw that thing away about 10 years ago. bought it from Kmart. It was on sale, end of the year clearance. I got that. I had a pair of waders that I'd already stolen from my dad, basically, and no fins or anything. And I'd go out there and just kick my feet like crazy and loved float tube fishing. Just figured out how to fish structure and really got into, and there's a really good bass population, smallmouth, largemouth in that lake. So I'd catch bass, and then they put wiper in there when I was in high school. And you want to talk about just up in your game, another level for a great predatory fish. Oh, wow. So all of that was great. And then, you know, you talk about the people that used to take me fishing. And since we were a fairly small community, you know, when my dad and mom got a divorce, my dad moved to Longmont, which is north of Denver. So he was about 2 hours away from me or more. And so I started to take myself. And I had a couple of big influences in my life that took me fishing when, you know, when I didn't have a dad to take me. So a guy by the name of Jim Fronick, and he's in his 80s now, great guy. He was somebody who was actually the realtor that brought us out from Michigan to, you know, he was part of the promotion group that would bring people out from the Midwest. And he was a Michigan guy himself. And that was, you know, he had a boat. And it was just this little fishing boat, a little 40 horsepower Mariner on it. But man, could he catch walleyes, and did he know how to do it, and taught me a lot. And then I had a coach in high school who was also a family friend who I'd grown up with. His wife was my preschool teacher. He also had a boat, and he would take me out as well. And so between those two and me doing it myself, my mom dropping me off at the lake at, you know, 4 in the afternoon and picking me up at dark and things like that. That's how I learned it all. I mean, that's how I figured it out on my own and saved my money to buy my stuff and got the float tube and float tube fished a bunch and just, you know, really kind of drew my identity on that. And then, you know, as I got older and went to college, my fishing kind of fell off. I picked up fly fishing a little bit and used to fly fish with a roommate of mine who was a guide and really got into that and loved that. But my heart was always walleye fishing. I wanted to fish tournaments. I used to idolize, you know, the PWT pros. I still have, I think I have 5 or 6 of their seasons, you know, in my video library, my old DVDs of the PWT days. And loved the, you know, the Parsons and the Cabiases and, you know, used to look at all the different pros. I used to see the guys on TV. Like I said, I didn't have cable TV. Where I grew up, you didn't have cable TV. So I didn't get to see all of the Saturday morning fishing shows with the Bill Dances and stuff, but I knew who they were and I used to see them in the Bass Pro catalog. So, so I watched that and I watched those videos when I got older and said, you know, that's what I'm going to do. And so, when I graduated college and I got a job, in Fort Collins, Colorado, I bought my first boat. It was a 17 and a half foot Ranger with a Merc 115, and it was my pride.
Oh man, yeah, that sounds like a fishy boat. You still got it?
No, I sold it and I upgraded to a 620. Yeah. And you know, so that's what I have now. I have a 620. I love the boat. I mean, it's just a great boat, and I'll get into how I got the 620 here in a second, because that's a great story as well. So,
right on.
I got a job as I was a deputy sheriff in Larimer County for almost 20 years, and I got hired it was fall, and so you know, you come in as the new guy, they don't know a lot about you, and I had this captain who everybody kept saying, hey, I heard you fish, you know, his name is Gary Darling. And this captain was a huge fisherman, a pro, they said, you know, and I always roll my eyes at the whole pro thing, right? Like, what's a pro fisherman? You know, I mean, they're the guys that I idolized on PWT, But, you know, that's a different story. That's all my Midwest stuff. That's my Midwest fantasy. It's the Great Lakes. We don't have the Great Lakes. How's there a guy out here in Colorado that's a pro? And I said, yeah, right, whatever, you know. And so I wander up to his office one night before briefing, never met the guy, and walk in, and he's got three RCL trophies, big, you know, back then when PWT and RCL were the two big circuits, three big RCL trophies, glass, you know, all kinds of etching on them, big, you know, walleye. And I thought, holy cow, this guy really is a pro. And I was so like, whoa. And I walked in and he looked at me and I didn't even know he knew my name. And he smiled and he said, I wondered when you were going to come see me. And I said, well, I was a little worried, a little scared. You're my captain. You know, I was like, I don't wander up into this office very much for anybody. And introduced myself. And it was an interesting conversation. I could tell he was kind of testing me as far as like, what does this kid know? And asked me what kind of knot I used. And, you know, again, right, like I've been fishing forever. I didn't know knots had names. I just used the one that my dad showed me or somebody else showed me, right?
Yep.
So I said, man, I don't know what knot it is, but this is what it is. He goes, that's a trilene knot. And I said, oh, well, I used the trilene knot then, you know. And he goes, well, have you ever thought about, you know, he's like, you ever thought about this knot or this or, you know, what kind of fishing do you like to do? And so, you know, I told him the story that when my parents first got a divorce, my dad and I used to go fishing two or three nights a week to make ends meet, basically. So we would go down and we would catch, we'd use original Rapalas. Rapalas, sorry, I know you Minnesota guys say it different. And but we would use original Rapalas, and we would go down and we'd have a pocket full of baits. You know, we don't even take a whole set of tackle box or anything and fish from shore. And we'd catch, you know, five or six walleyes a night. And my dad would, I mean, that's what we ate for dinner for the week. And so, you know, many, many nights I can remember it was a bowl of Cheerios or fish. So to this day, I have I can't stand eat walleye. Just I know it's sacrilege, but I just had way too much of it as a kid. So
right on. Fair enough.
Yeah. So I'm just like, well. But we had a great, you know, I told him about that story, and I said, you know, we used to fish a lot of that, you know, stuff off the shore and jigs and things like that. So he was like, well, you know, and I started asking about the tournament circuit. And I said, this is something I want to do. And I said, I'm looking for a boat. And he said, well, lucky enough for you, I just happen to know somebody who has a boat for sale. And I said, wow. I said, no kidding. And he said, yeah. He goes, you know, he goes, I'll put you in touch with him. He's the county or the city manager for Loveland, and which is a town there in Larimer County. And he said, he was sponsored at that time by Crestliner and Merck, or no, Yamaha. And he said, I am switching to Ranger. I'm selling my Crestliner and Evinrude. And that's when Evinrude was starting to come out with the E-Tex back in the early 2000s. And he said, I am going to be switching, and I need to sell my boat. You know, that's back when they did the boat shuffle, right? That's back when there were real sponsorship deals, like where you get, you know, they paid for the trailer and the boat was free kind of thing. And they were able to sell them every year for a little bit of a profit. And that's how the fishermen made the money. Mm-hmm. And so he said, I need to sell my boat. I'm going to sell my boat to him. He's already bought it, but he needs to buy his. And he goes, if you're really looking for a boat, it would help me out to buy this. And he goes, I think it's only a year or two old, but he hardly ever uses it. So I wandered out to his house and I looked at it, and he wanted $10,000 for this boat. And $10,000 to me was like winning the lottery. So I thought, man, you gotta, you know, oof. And I was just gotten married, and I was like, my wife will never agree for me to buy a boat, you know, our first 3 months of being married. And, but I said, well, I'll give it a try. So I brought her along with me the next day, and I tried to talk him down, and he's like, no, Gary told me you were coming. This is as low as I could go. He goes, and I haven't even listed it in the paper. He goes, I'll sell it, no problem. There was no way. I'd fallen in love with it. It was, you know, aluminum, deep V, got the Merc on it, had the trolling motor, had a 9.9 kicker. Those first Merc kickers that came out that were so hard to start, that's what it was. And, you know, I was like, this boat is my dream. There's no way. Went to the bank, got him a $10,000 check the next day, and showed up and pulled that boat out of there. So, and just fished the crap out of it. I went and started fishing the Colorado Walleye Association, which was the tournament circuit in Colorado at that time. and entered my first tournament on Pueblo Reservoir. And so I thought, I'm going to stack the deck and enter my first one on my home lake. Found out that tournament fishing very quickly was different than me going out in my float tube.
Yeah.
And, you know, kind of getting matched up with or paired up against some of our best fishermen in this state, which people I don't think are aware, but I will put dollars to donuts against any Colorado fishermen or West fishermen, Wyoming, Nebraska included, against most Midwest guys. And no kick against anybody in the Midwest, but you know, these guys here have to be so versatile in how they fish because our reservoirs fluctuate so much. And, you know, what is structure one year is dry as a bone the next. And you know, your bag of tricks or your bag of weapons that you use, whether it be bottom bouncing, trolling cranks on planer boards, trolling cranks on lead core, jigging, you know, slip bobber, you name it, you have to have them all because reservoir fish move and they slide. And, you know, your bite on day one of the tournament may be gone because you had a huge thunderstorm and the lake dropped 2 inches and it blew 40 miles an hour all night. And now Sunday your fish are gone. So, and I understand that can happen anywhere, but you know, it seems to be more drastic in these reservoirs. So I learned that very quickly. I started to see, you know, where I needed to learn how to catch fish. That first tournament, they used to split up the tournaments. There was a Saturday and a Sunday payout. And then there was an overall trophy for who won it overall. I got a check on Saturday for eighth place, no check on Sunday. And checks then were like, you know, $150. No, nothing huge. And that was pretty cool. Fished Sterling, Colorado, which has a reservoir that is off and on good. And got a check in that one too. And I thought I was ready to go to, you know, PWT, RCL. And then I don't think I cashed a check for two more years. So learned very quickly that, you know, once I learned about tailpiping the hard way, I learned once you start to win a little bit, people start to notice where you fish and you track company. So I figured out how to not do that. And through this process, I was learning from Gary. He was, you know, I'd fish a couple tournaments a year with him, local ones, and the most competitive dude I'd ever seen. I mean, just this guy went on the water and he was a machine to the point where I almost couldn't stand him. I mean, it was, you know, I'm still out there having fun. And this guy he is a Lowrance guy. He was a Lowrance pro. He knew graphs and fish finders like, you know, I mean, I had seen them, but one of them was a flasher. So I was not huge on that. We fished structure that looked good that we knew had fish. So, you know, he was teaching me how to do all of that, which was great. And, he introduced me to my, a great friend of mine and another mentor, Dan Swanson, who, was also a PWT pro, was a rookie the same year Chase Parsons was a rookie, and he and Chase actually shared rookie of the year honors, then. And Dan is worked at HP, very smart engineer, big Lowrance guy, still is a big Lowrance guy. And Dan ended up becoming my tournament partner for about 8 years. And I learned everything. I mean, whatever, you know, I didn't learn on my own and I hadn't learned as a kid, Dan Swanson, just, you know, watching that guy fish, a little less intense than Gary, a little more fun to be with on tournament day, but still every bit as focused and competitive. And that's where you learn, you know, there's a big difference. I mean, a Grand Canyon size difference between going out with your girlfriend on a Saturday and catching 30 walleyes and thinking you're the man, and then going out and being a tournament fisherman who can produce in any weather condition, any time of year, on any body of water, is just a Grand Canyon difference. And I learned a whole new respect for the sport. Figured out it was way more than a hobby, and started my journey down buying way too much stuff and spending way too much money on things I probably will never use, but I might someday on some lake in some state that I've never been to. And that was it, man. You know, my first year, I met these two goofballs. We all were the new kids. Now they're my business partners and my best friends, but two guys by the name of Brad Qualley and Mitch Peterson. And They are now my partners in All Eyes on Fishing, and they're our partners in E-Tournament Fishing. And we run the Colorado Walleye Trail. We run the Western Walleye Series, which is a regional tournament that we started a couple years ago. And they're part of our partnership with Anthony Lopez, who is our fourth partner and our missing link in E-Tournament. And, you know, between the four of us, that's my family. And it has changed my world. Fishing is just something I have always reverted back to. And I smile to this day because I remember having, I told you about my coach, who was a guy that took me fishing a bunch, but he always used to look at me and say, you know, fishing's never going to make you any money. And I would always
Which
say,
was
coach,
probably good advice, right? Like he was just trying to look out for you.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, like I said, I know him to this day. He's in his 80s as well now, and love the family. They had three kids, one of which just passed away, and I was at the funeral and saw him a year ago. And, you know, still love the family to death, and it was cool. It was great to tell him I did it, Coach.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, man, I mean, those types of influences in your life, like, they have nothing but your best interests in mind. They want you to be successful as you want to be. But good advice in the fishing industry is if you want to fish a lot, do another job that makes you a lot of money and gives you time off.
Yeah.
Right? Like that would be the best advice, right? It's like, you know, go be an accountant or something.
Right.
It's like, but at the same time, there, you know, somebody like that is, you know, probably just rooting for you all the way. Like,
yeah.
You know, live your dreams, you know, like do this, you know, do the deal, fish hard. And,
Sure. And it was way cool. You know, I mean, I have a lot of pride. I like to take, you know, I when I started to fish those tournaments, he fished a couple of them with me. And, to this day, I still try to get down there once a year and take them fishing. And, you know, my close buddy and, you know, going through high school, he's like a second dad to me. You know, Jim Fronick was, I love taking him. He lives in Florida now. I don't get to see him very much, but when he does come back to visit, we always, I drive down and we plan a trip to go out on the reservoir. So, I thoroughly enjoy paying it back. I love being out there and taking them and just, you know, being able to just show them the love that they gave me. And so, it's great. And I do the same with, you know, Dan and I don't get to fish as much anymore. He retired from fishing tournaments, but, you know, and he's off traveling, he's retired and does the whole motorhome thing and all that. And, but you know, every once in a while I get to go with him and, you know, so it's good. And it goes to show that fishing can be a community. It can be something great. It can be something that teaches kids. It can teach adults. It's not too, you know, it's never too late to pick up and to go out and enjoy yourself. And, you know, yes, it gets expensive. And yes, when you start to do everything competitively, it gets expensive. But, you know, it's like anything, right? If you're a big hunter, if you're a big golfer, whatever, it's something that keeps you sane.
Preparing for the upcoming ice fishing season means making great gear choices that will help you maximize your time on the water. That's where Summit Fishing Equipment comes in. The trusted choice for anglers who demand reliable, affordable, and top-quality forward-facing sonar gear and accessories for all the major brands, including Garmin LiveScope, Lowrance Active Target, and Hummingbird Mega Live. Check out their bestseller, the Summit HD CNC Shuttle. It's designed to protect your expensive electronics from harsh winter conditions while keeping everything portable for easy transport. You could pair that up with the lightweight yet robust carbon fiber ice transducer pole and the versatile Summit bag to complete the setup. Crafted from advanced carbon fiber, this forward sonar pole is not only incredibly strong, but also the lightest on the market. Their offerings don't stop at just poles and shuttles. Summit Fishing Equipment offers a full range of bags, mounts, and accessories to customize your fishing rig to your exact specifications. So whether you're a seasoned pro or just getting started, Summit has what you need to improve your experience on the ice. Explore Summit's collection at summitfishingequipment.com. That link is in the description of this podcast. Summit Fishing Equipment is also on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. If you have any fishing memory or a fish that you would like to commemorate with a replica, or you have questions about getting fish replicas done, reach out to Jamie Rizavi from Rizavi Taxidermy Studio in New Rockford, North Dakota. Jamie and his crew do next level work. Here at the JMO headquarters, we are blessed to have so many replicas made by Jamie. Reach out. You can find him on social media or online at rizavitaxidermystudio.com. The link is in the description of this podcast. Check out the Flopbox bait coolers from Flop Industries. The Flopbox 10 and Flopbox 20 are heavy-duty, roto-molded bait coolers, fully insulated, which comes into play both summer and winter. The aeration system for minnows and other live bait is fully enclosed and lithium-powered for reliability and durability. The stainless hardware, the removable chill plate, the list goes on of features, but these high-end bait coolers can easily enhance your fishing experience when you consider their ability to keep your bait alive, fresh, and ready to go when you need it. Check out the Flopbox bait coolers and more at flopindustries.com. That link is in the description of this podcast. Are you looking for the perfect winter getaway? Look no further than Minnesota's own Lake of the Woods. Welcome to the walleye capital of the world, where the next hook set could be a big walleye, a delicious sauger, a giant pike, or a state record burbot. But it's not just about the fishing. From cozy resorts to unique bars on the ice, Lake of the Woods offers winter fun for everyone. Plus, the resorts and expert ice fishing guides up there are ready to make your experience easy and unforgettable. Discover the magic of Lake of the Woods. Visit lakeofthewoodsmn.com. That link is in the description of this podcast. But I'm curious about, and I want this to kind of be a bit of a highlight, is there's a lot of walleyes in Colorado.
Yeah.
But for those of us here in the Midwest, I kind of want to maybe have you sort of explain what is the scope of the opportunities in Colorado for walleye fishing. For those of us in the Midwest or anybody in the East, we can probably understand that there's some walleyes in Colorado, but is the tournament fishing are we overstating it? Is it just a few rivers? Is it just a few reservoirs? I think painting that picture is just kind of fun and interesting for people.
Sure. Yeah. We don't have a ton of water. The state of Colorado over the, last 150 years, I think if they could plan, more lakes, more reservoirs, bigger lakes and reservoirs, I think they would. Our waters are pretty crowded, especially on peak times. In the metro area, we have two main reservoirs, Cherry Creek and Chatfield, both of which all of you in the Midwest were ponds, right? I mean, real small, I call them neighborhood lakes. When I go back to visit my family in Michigan, you're driving through some neighborhood and all of a sudden, boom, there's this lake. You're like, holy cow, where'd that come from? And, that's so-and-so's association lake. And, or that's somebody's township lake. And you're like, holy cow, that's a whole state park for us. So we don't have a lot of huge waters. Pueblo is a big one. Most of our waters that hold walleyes are on the Front Range. We have, and the reservoirs are small and they fluctuate in water level pretty frequently. So the trick for us is you can have a great fishery. I mentioned Sterling, Colorado. You can have which is out on the Eastern Plains on the way to Nebraska. You can have a great reservoir there, pretty decent size for our state, and have a mix of a die-off and low water levels. And before you know it, all your fish are scattered over farm fields out east. And, Division of Wildlife is restocking the lake, and it takes you 4 or 5 years to get them back. So we've seen that several times at Sterling, and right now we're in one of those down times. So our tournament waters gets limited at times due to those issues with water levels to the reservoirs that are more stable, that are not only a source of drinking water and irrigation for the city, but for when they ship the water out east to Kansas and stuff. So that's the trick. That's the game we play. But the good news is that Colorado is much warmer than people think. Yes, we get snow. Yes, it's the mountains. Yes, it's, you know, icy and crappy as we sit here and record this. It's snowing like a, you know, a 3 or 4 inches, I think, is what we have so far. But we have, you know, they say on average 300 plus days of sunshine here. And our winters are fairly mild. Many days you'll get in the 50s. And so that promotes growth. And that promotes, you know, we rarely get a nice fishing season. And if we do, it's very limited to a month or so. And then all of a sudden the water's breaking up and, you know, our spawn occurs sometime around in March and then we're off and we're fishing. And, so we have great stocking programs. A lot of our reservoirs are piped in water. And, like I said, Pueblo is unique because the Arkansas flows into Pueblo. So you get that, you know, a natural, spawn that occurs there that is different than some places, which makes Pueblo obviously one of the best walleye fisheries in the state, if not the best. We have a big reservoir, which we consider big, but about 8 miles long, but it's only about a mile and a half wide or 2 miles wide, called Horsetooth Reservoir up by Fort Collins. And that has phenomenal fish in it, but they're very hard to catch because there's a lot of bait. And so doesn't get, you know, people go up and give it their best crack. And then they say, I hate fishing there. Don't go back because they're tough to catch. But again, you know, that lake fluctuates and it's connected to another lake through the pipe system called Carter Reservoir. And Carter's much smaller, but again, Carter's got phenomenal walleye fishing with, you know, the fish. Colorado's known for trout, right? When you think Colorado, you think trout right. and streams. And so they stock trout in all of these same lakes. And we appreciate the stocking of trout because that's what feeds a lot of our walleyes. So we don't mind that as much. But we run on shad. Shad is the main forage here. Some lakes have some other types of forage. Horsetooth has a rainbow smelt, which mysteriously appeared in that reservoir in the 90s and then had a crash and disappeared and then reappeared again about 9-10 years ago. And so those fish are fat, well-fed, and are different because you know, those smelt school up in the middle of the lake over 100 feet of water and, you know, and are a little bit deeper than the shad, but the shad are in there as well. So, you know, you can troll the center of that lake and see enough bait before dark to where it looks like you could walk across the water. You know, so it's, like I said, big fat walleyes, but, you know, hard to catch. They're well fed. So, but then Pueblo shad as well. And, if we're lucky, we get 3 or 4 hatches of shad a year, and before the water drops and kills the eggs. And, you know, if we get those good hatches, if the water stays consistent, we get those good hatches, they explode. And shad populations that, you know, you can get over a school of shad and it can be 150 yards long. And, you know, and on your graph, you can see them and the cloud of shad will be from, you know, 5 feet down to 20 feet down, 250 yards long. And so, you know, we do get well-fed fish, which means we get big walleyes. And so it is not uncommon to have trophy walleyes come out of these waters. We did a fall walleye, you know, kind of walleye brawl, just statewide type thing. It's a fun deal. Biggest walleye wins type thing. And, you know, everybody, and I think we had 6 or 7 fish over 10 pounds. And then a lot of 9-pounders that were part of it. So, you know, when, you know, we did one a year ago and the biggest fish was almost 13. So, you know, we have big walleyes. We have great walleye fishing, not uncommon to have 100 fish day. We have size restrictions on the fish, you know, most lakes are 18 and over. So you'll catch 117 inches for sure. But, you know, good populations, good stuff. And then you move north, you go into Wyoming. And Wyoming did a much better job of planning out their water needs. And they have really large reservoirs, which are great. And they have walleye populations that are just, you know, unbelievable up there as well, which most people don't think of when they think of Wyoming. And but those fish, completely different than your Midwest fish. I mean, completely 100% different type of fish. And way different, and what a fun way to catch them. But I call it bass fishing for walleye. And, you know, you go and it blows away. Here's the best part is it blows away all of the old Midwest thinking about fish, right? They're on reefs, they're on structures. Walleyes don't like bright light. They fish at night. I mean, they feed at night. They're not out during the day as much. you know, when the weather gets warm, they go down to the deeper water because they like cooler water. And that is so far from the truth that, you know, the guys who are commonly at the bottom of the list in tournaments are the guys who believe that to be true. Because at this one reservoir in Wyoming called Glendo, you know, a lot of weed growth comes up, a lot of brush, the reservoir goes up into the brush, and you will catch fish on a clear blue sky day with not a cloud in the sky, 100 degree weather, and you'll catch a 10 pounder out of 2 feet of water or less. And, you know, people just are blown away by the fact that you can catch walleyes so shallow and it's such heavy cover. But, you know, using stuff like jerk baits and crankbaits going through heavy brush and heavy weeds and paddle tails and stuff like that. You know, just like I said, bass fishing for walleye. And
yeah, fun fishing. Fertile bodies of water too, like from the south.
Yes. Just great, you know, like I said, great. I mean, I have fished the Great Lakes. I have fished, you know, some of the rivers, the Saginaw River. I have fished different places. And, you know, yeah, I've caught some monsters. Caught a great big monster on a Big Bay, an auk, you know. But I have to tell you that, you know, everything we have out here competes as far as size and the quantity and the quality of fishing. Pretty competitive out here and pretty comparable to the Great Lakes. And, you know, the Dakotas, I fished, fished an NTC on Oahu. And anyways, fished Oahu and loved it. Caught great fish, got a great crankbait bite on lead core. But you know, the quality of fish and the quantity of fish, very comparable to Colorado, very comparable. If not, you know, of course we don't have the size of the water. Oahu's massive, but, you know, same type of fishing submerged dead trees, cottonwoods, prairie, you know, bluffs and things like that, shale, rock structure. And, you know, if I had to choose, if you were going to come out and visit me and you're like, hey, do we go to Oahu or do we go to Pueblo? I'm taking you to Pueblo because I know we're going to catch more fish in Pueblo. And, so yeah, I mean, it's good stuff. West fishing, different kind of fishing. I think we have different water as far as, the makeup of the water. I think that affects things. But our fish grow pretty fast. And I think we got some pretty solid fisheries.
We got to kind of, and I think the whole tournament conversation is kind of our segue into this. You know, the e-tournament stuff, how do we get to that point? Because, you know, maybe kind of talking about, you know, the tournament scene down there and just how that sort of, you know, influenced you and kind of, created this whole like e-tournament thing. Where does that story begin?
Well, e-tournament fishing is a tournament fishing app that, you know, I know there's a few others out there on the market, but we really try to set ourselves apart with being, creating this tournament app that is created by tournament directors and tournament anglers, right? Like not only did we create it for everybody else to use, but we use it. And so we want it to be the absolute best because first off, it's our baby. Second off, I don't want to use something that's not going to work for us, because the more efficient and the better it works, the better I do, right? The better my business runs, the better the tournaments run, the more people I can bring into our tournaments. And so, you know, about 4 years ago, during COVID, the Colorado Walleye Association, which was a nonprofit volunteer-based thing, had been around forever, you know, in Colorado. Started to kind of fold under. It was, they were going to focus more on the community event stuff, which is great. And the volunteers weren't volunteering like they had in the past, and they wanted to move away from tournament fishing. And like I said, they kind of had that strange format where they paid off out on different days, and you know, you really didn't win any money. You didn't fish these for the money, you fished them for the competition, but there were guys who wanted the chance to win more money. And so we'd been kicking around, Brad, Mitch, and I, who at the time, and we still are, but at the time we'd started All Eyes on Fishing podcast. And we were sitting around doing our podcast, recording our podcast, and talking about, you know, maybe we should start our own more competitive tournament trail. And about that same time, Dan Swanson called me and said, hey, he goes, sounds like CWA is going under. Maybe this is the time to start your circuit. So we started our own circuit when CWA went down, called the Colorado Walleye Trail. And we wanted to make sure everybody knew, you know, as much as this is a, you know, something that we want to get everybody involved in, we want this to be a competitive circuit. And so, you know, the amount of money it takes to get in goes up and things like that. Well, the one thing that we did not want to do, Brad Mitch had volunteered for 5 years to be the tournament director and weighmaster for CWA. And I used to just make fun of him completely because I would go out and fish in these tournaments. You know, they, those two were partners. They fished together and I fished with, you know, my brother and other people, Dan and stuff. And, you know, those goofballs always had to leave early because they had to go set up the tanks and do all that stuff. And they always, you know, couldn't make it down to pre-fish as many days as I could because they had to pull the trailer down with all the tanks in it. It was always this big deal. And it took all kinds of time and manpower. So when we started the Colorado Walleye Trail, we said, look, we're not doing the tanks. We're not in charge of all that overhead. It's just too much money, too much time. We don't want to do volunteers. We don't want to be, you know, we don't want to be bound to people volunteering and everybody having an opinion. And that's kind of what put CWA under, is everybody had an opinion. And we like, we're going to run this like a business. And so in order to do that, we need to have a different system. So we started to looking into catch, photograph, release video, CPRV, and, you know, nothing really was out there. There were a few apps. They didn't meet our needs. So we did everything by text message. So you had to take a photo of your fish on the board. We had an identifiable image in there. So we did scorecards with an identifiable mark on the scorecard, which was unique for that day. And then you had to take a video, and it was a release video of the fish. And then you texted to Mitch's phone all of your entries. And on your scorecard, you would write the inches. And then we did the aim length to weight conversion. So shout out to AIM, you know, kind of doing the AIM system, just not with the SD cards. And we called AIM. They said, yep, go ahead, use our conversion. We have no problem with it. We said, thank you. And that's what we did. And, you know, it got us by for a couple of years, every year or so. And then it was just so much work. I mean, just so much work as far as keeping all the text messages straight, writing everything down, having to add everything up. So one of the guys that fished our circuit, his name's Anthony Lopez, and I mentioned him earlier, and Anthony is just a spectacular human. And he hit me up one day, and we used JotForm, and that's how people would enter our tournaments. They would go online, they would pay, you know, fill out their JotForm form that I created for them, and they would pay at the bottom of JotForm, and that's how we entered our tournaments. JotForm came out with a little app, and it was, you know, pretty powerful for what they had. And you could design it. And he said, hey, what if we can use this and kind of do our own little side app, you know, to have people enter their fish. And Anthony is a longtime IT kind of guy, and he had worked in the medical field and done stuff for the medical industry as far as apps and web pages and things go. And he and I sat there for a weekend and tried to figure it out. And I, you know, known him very little through our tournaments. And we just couldn't get what we wanted. And a couple of days had passed and we'd scrapped the idea. And he said, hey, he goes, what if we did our own app? He goes, would you guys be interested? And I said, man, you know, I had just moved to the Denver area. I quit being a cop for a long time. I didn't have a lot of money. And I, you know, and Brad and Mitch were kind of in their own transition stuff. And I said, well, let me ask him. And we met. And I bet it took less than a fraction of a second for both of them to be like, yep, let's do it.
Because so, really what he's asking is a big investment.
Right.
I think it's interesting to kind of point that out, that, like, you know, you guys were doing your best to, you know, just kind of piggyback off of some technology that was out there, but it wasn't getting you where you wanted to be. The other apps on the market just weren't also satisfying enough. And it's like, so if you're going to make your own app, it's really just figuring out the investment, right?
Yep, 100%. And, you know, we had talked to some of the other apps, and all of them were doing just length. And, you know, we needed length to weight conversion, which we had pointed out to one app in particular. And, you know, said, look, two 15-inch walleyes are not worth the same value as a 30-inch walleye. But in just a length-based system, you know, that person's tied for the lead. And we said, that's just not fair. So, you know, with the AIM system in place, we wanted the AIM system in an app as far as the conversion goes. And then we wanted to, you know, which is all the talk nowadays, we wanted to put an end to any sort of idea of cheating. And,
yes, you know, that's a big part of this conversation.
Huge.
Yeah. Yeah.
Huge. And so, you know, we have the unique position of, I started fishing tournaments in 2000. Brad and Mitch were a little bit before me. Brad, I mean, Mitch is a Minnesota boy too. He's from Heron Lake. I know he'd want me to shout that out to Heron Lake. And, you know, he, you know, those two had started fishing tournaments before I had. And so we had all this wealth of knowledge of fishing tournaments all over the place and being to NTCs and doing all those things. And, you know, it was like, how do we take what we know and how do we try to, A, beat the app, right? How do we try to cheat and how do we use the app to you know, stop what we think we know about, what we've heard about cheaters and you know, the ideas we could come up with. Mm-hmm. So Anthony was all on board. He had the experience. He had the developers that he had used in the past. And, you know, he's like, for a modest investment, I think in about 6 to 8 months, we could have an app. Well, that modest investment has probably since, you know, quadrupled or more. And the 6 to 8 months turned into about 2 years of development. So, you know, initially, we started e-tournament fishing, and you go through all the, I had just started my own companies after I got out of law enforcement to do background checks. And so I was aware of how to do that. So I helped start the company and, you know, do all this stuff that's involved in starting a company. And then we started to pool together what we needed. And Anthony started to put them into the developer with the developer and developing them, because our developers had never seen or done anything like this. So, so we pull all this together and we start to come up with the first edition, right? Like Gen 1. And after about a year, we finally release it, and it was a rough go. It was, we had a couple, everything we do first with us. So we held a little ice fishing tournament, had about 12 or 15 people in it, and just spent hours on the phone trying to figure out, you know, guys couldn't get registered properly. They didn't understand how to put in a fish. I mean, all these little things, these little growing pains that you probably go through. So from that point on, it became the passion, and we have spent thousands and thousands of hours testing, adjusting, getting loans, pulling out of retirements, doing everything we could to come up with a product that was what we felt like worthy enough to honor all of the tournament fishermen in this country. And that goes bass, that goes carp, catfish, walleye, you know, pike, like offshore, redfish, trout, you know, I personally, and all of us as a group, wanted to make sure that we had something that would honor everybody's love for the sport and drive to, you know, do this sport justice. And so that's what we did. And that's what we, you know, that's what we put into it every day. And, you know, so, you know, we've come up with this, what we consider is, you know, less of just a quick app to be able to take a picture of a fish. So, you know, some apps don't even do the release video. Some do, you know, there is nothing about this app that isn't focused on the fishermen and the sport. We don't have pop-up ads. You know, our app does not look like a Vegas, you know, gaming app, yeah. You know, where things pop up and, you know, you've got a lot of fluff and clutter and sounds. You know, ours is, this is what you use for your tournament, not only for your tournament at home, but this is what you use for big professional events. And so we've created, you know, the basic function of the catch photograph release. We put in a geofence to where you can set a geofence and set boundaries on your lake, which is, as you know, big in like the Great Lakes area, right?
Yeah. Or the big reservoirs, like I would already named, you know, like Fort Peck or Sakakawea or Oahe. It's like some of the bigger tournaments, they don't necessarily have boundaries, but I mean, but those bodies of water are so big. There's a ton of tournaments that that do on a body of water. It's just an imaginary line, right? That just goes across the lake somewhere. Yeah. And, you know, it's not marked on anywhere in particular other than maybe like a 2D map that they pass out at the rules meeting or whatever.
But exactly.
So you guys are focusing on the integrity and then the ease of use. Any angler's got to be able to use it. And that was probably a tall task, you know, just to get something that, you know, anglers could use. But like, so what's the status of it right now as far as like the offerings, you know, e-tournament, like how do we look at this? Like who is to look at, you know, the possibility of utilizing this and what does it offer?
So we run a tournament circuit. So we have found a secondary, you know, kind of, I guess a career path that you could say, but, due to our experience in tournament fishing and being directors, we have also offered the service of, we will be the tournament director for you. So as you know, a lot of these tournaments run on volunteers and the poor volunteers, like Brad Mitch used to. So we are very familiar with this situation where they have to, you know, come in an hour too early. They lose their time, you know, all of these sorts of things because they're running the weigh station. Well, with the app, there's no weigh station. There's no need to do that. But somebody does need to judge the fish. You need to have somebody that approves the fish and says, okay, this is good. Well, you run into the issue of, you know, if it were you and me, one of us isn't fishing the tournament because you want to keep the integrity. So we offer to be tournament directors, and for a fee, we'll be your tournament director. And the great magical thing about the app is I can be a tournament director for your tournament in North Dakota from Colorado because it's all coming into the same place. So we run tournaments. We ran our fall tournament in Nebraska and we did everything remote. We weren't even there. So, you know, we have it down to where through this app and through the abilities of this app, you know, we are able to, if you said, hey, Josh, I'm having a big tournament, but I want to fish it. Will you guys judge the fish for me? Absolutely. And I don't have to, you know, I go about my day and you go about your day fishing and I judge all the fish for you and I do everything from here. So we actually have we're actually doing the IFA series, the Inshore Fishermen Association series for Bass Pro Cabela's down in Florida. We did their first event in October of last year down in Tampa, and it was amazing. And what a fun experience it was to meet all those kayakers and boat guys and do this tournament that COVID kind of crushed the series. It had been a thriving series before COVID, and COVID put the series on hold. So they are reintroducing it and revitalizing it. We have four dates in a championship set for Florida for next year. And so if anybody's interested, go to, you know, IFA webpage and check it out. But so we're the tournament directors for that using the app. Everything is catch, photograph, release video for that. And, you know, and we are working with a lot of other big circuits and talking to big tournaments about using the app because, you know, tournament fishing is going to this type of thing. And the value is the fish and the conservation and getting the fish back in the water as fast as possible and not having the issue of weigh-ins and dying fish. And then you eliminate the cheating. You know, there's no point. Built into the app is automatic length of weight conversion for all sorts of species. And they're all listed on our webpage at etournamentfishing.com. And, you know, the app keeps track of all it for you. You can set your daily limit. You can set your basket. So you can, you know, it automatically calls out your five biggest fish. Nothing goes in the box. Nothing goes in your live well. And, you know, DNRs love it. Lawmakers love it. So at some point, if we all don't take the step to start to use this technology on our own, I think it's going to be mandated by local, you know, local governments. And I think you see that with the NWT in their tournament they had out of Sturgeon Bay last year. You know, they're limiting what these guys can keep and hold on to. And it's starting to create issues, you know, with competition and stuff like that. And then all of the cheating scandals with stuffing weights down people, you know, fish's stomachs and stuff. Well, all that goes away because length of weight conversion is standard for everybody. So, you know, best fish win. And so I think we're back to the kind of the roots. Like this technology brings us back to the roots of that. And, you know, I understand that people have questions about technology as we do. We work every day to make it, you know, make sure it's better. You know, the ability of this app is we have an online mode and an offline mode. The offline mode looks just like the online mode, but the difference is you have no cell coverage. But everything is stored in the app until you hit cell coverage, and then it's, you know, sent up to the cloud, and the cloud then holds it for the director to look at the fish and approve it. So there's no chance of losing fish as a backup option to the app. All of the videos and pictures you take are stored on your phone. So everything is time and date stamped. So there's no need for a recognizable chip or some sort of, you know, thing in the picture to show that you're fishing that day. All of the leaderboard is anonymous, if you wish. So if you and I are fishing in a tournament and we did a great job on day one, and the directors choose to have the leaderboard on, because you can have it on or off, it's up to the director. You know, everything's anonymous. So when you enter a tournament, it's given you're given a pin, and that 5-digit pin is your code to be able to look at the leaderboard. So everybody's status is a pin, and then your catch and weight for that day. And then the days are broken up, and then you have a total. So everything is completely anonymous, which eliminates tailpiping. Absolutely eliminates it. No issues with, you know, the leaders of day one can very easily be the leaders of day two, because you don't have half the field, you know, in your spot the next day. So that was a big deal for us.
Yeah, that's interesting.
And it keeps people honest, keeps people, you know, only you know your pin when you register. So that is a very big tool for us. Like I said, the geofence, and, you know, we're introducing now a chat version. So there's a chat side to the app, which looks a lot like Facebook. I mean, feels a lot like Facebook as far as you can share pictures. But say like you and I are holding a tournament, and we're going to, you know, everybody that enters this tournament is automatically put into a chat room. And now you can spread any information. I mean, so all the contestants can talk back and forth. Hey, where are you guys staying? What hotels are open? What boat ramp are we using? All of that can be communicated to all of your anglers through the app. And as a part of that, if you have your wife or your mom or somebody wants to follow how you are doing in the tournament season, they can subscribe to the app, and they can go in through the fan side, and they can have access to all of the fishermen, all of the anglers, which allows all of the anglers to build their own persona, right? Everybody has a dream that's a serious tournament angler becoming a pro. The app allows you the ability to go in there, create a profile, promote your sponsors through pictures and fusible pictures, I mean, linkable pictures to their websites. And it keeps track of your finishes. You can put in your trophy fish. You can build your own profile to promote your sponsors and your career in the app, and it can be followed by all the fans. So if, you know, Keith Kavias is in there and you want to see how he's doing, and he's fishing several e-tournament events where e-tournament's being used, you can go in, you can watch Keith as he, you know, during the tournaments to see what the leaderboard does. And then you can message Keith after, hey man, great finish on Green Bay. What were you doing? And you can follow him, and he can answer you. And so it really makes, it gives the normal fisherman who's, you know, either fishes small events or is thinking about getting into it, it gives him access to the professional side or the semi-professional side of fishing, which is so important to spreading the word, better than any other sport, right? Better than pro football, better than pro basketball or any of those. It grants access to everybody who uses the app because everybody's in it. And so that is the goal, right? We call it the community. We want the fishing community to be as big and as robust as possible. So for us to do that, we needed to price this thing correctly. And we created, we do a subscription. It's $4.99 a month. And you can fish one tournament in that month, or you can fish 100. It doesn't matter. That $4.99 covers, and it could be five different groups, right? It could be, you could go fish an NWT event, and then you could also go fish a Michigan Walleye Trail event, and then you can fish an AIM event. And if they're all using the app, it's covered under that $4.99. There's not a per event fee like there is with most of the other apps.
And that subscription, like paying for it with that subscription, is important to point out, I think, because the way I gather it is like, that's where you keep the app clean. It's not a billboard. Yes. It's not full of a bunch of murky, you know, because, I mean, I'm not like a tech person, but like, man, that would just make things like trickier to navigate if the thing is, you know, just like a website, just like full of a bunch of ads and you click on the wrong thing. And I could see that being something sideways. And it just doesn't, it just focuses on your deal. Like you're, you pay that subscription. You don't have to deal with the pop-up ads. You don't have to deal with this or that. And it also probably gives it longevity too, right? I mean, you look at some of these things that, you know, if it's, some of these things are free to use, you know, but then you, you know, they got to make money somehow, right? So they go and they sell ads or they have all these, you know, sponsor partners. Well, that isn't always as sustainable either. If you're a user, you want to be able to pay for it. Honestly, I feel like it, you know, like you want to be able to pay for something that you're going to use. And then when you're in there, it's just what you want to use it for.
Yep. I mean, cancel it at any time if you want. It's if you do an annual subscription of $49, you get 2 months for free. And, you know, the more the app gets used, the more the word gets out and the more circuits that go to it, you know, you get a lot of ice fishing in North Dakota. Imagine if you ran your summer circuit, had a couple of off events. Maybe you go down to South Dakota, fish a couple of theirs, you know, and then you do a whole ice series. You know, you could end up fishing, you know, 8, 9, 12 events through the app. And at, you know, some of these prices of some of these other apps at $7, $8, $9 to use it for one tournament, you know, you've already paid for everything by far, and it's far more affordable.
Oh, so, yeah. Yeah, and I don't even think, you know, like that expense, it probably isn't even on people's mind, but just, you know, that usability, like finding something to use. And you know, you're talking about, you know, this thing is built to be able to function on big tournament fields, you know, with all kinds of different rules and all kinds of, you know, like this thing functions, you know, with or without cell coverage and all of that. And you don't worry about the SD cards, you know, you don't have to have a separate camera, you know, or learn how to take photos, you know, with that or whatever.
Yep.
We all understand a cell phone nowadays, you know, so that ease of use thing is you know, a high priority. The integrity is a high priority, but also too, like, again, just listening to it, talking to you before, like, you know, this thing is,
you read
is
my mind.
Phenomenal.
Yeah,
even I mean, for right? Like, so a group of guys that just want to start a Tuesday nighter.
Because we do. And, you know, and all of a sudden you're like, hey, let's, we're all part of the app. Let's do a Tuesday night. Let's do a Tuesday night, $20 in the pot type thing. It costs nothing. If you want to be a tournament director, anybody can be a tournament director. It costs nothing for a tournament director to set up a tournament and use it. So it's great. I mean, we do league nights here. We're going to, you know, we're starting a couple of league night series, one in Pueblo on Monday nights, one in Cherry Creek Reservoir in Denver on Monday nights, and one up at Glendale Reservoir in Wyoming on Monday nights. And that you know, those series are all virtual. They're $20 in 100% paybacks. And, you know, you can, like, the app allows you to do fun things like that.
This is kind of the way of the future. I think moving forward, you know, I don't know if and when we would ever get rid of live weigh-ins in places. And I think that's, mm-hmm. like, great that there's a time and a place for everything. That's, you know, the mm-hmm. history of the sport. And as long as, again, is from an integrity standpoint, as long as everybody's following the rules and they weigh the fish that they catch legally, like, there's a lot of fun. It's, you know, live weigh-ins are a lot of fun if you're pulling it off. But from a sustainability, like you say, COVID maybe had a big play in this, where it kind of taught us that, you know, there's some technology out there that's that is this stuff is pretty interesting. And I think it's probably for sure true that, you know, the way of the future, probably some of the more interesting competitions moving forward, or if some of these bigger name, you know, circuits want to look at the sustainability or profitability, you know, moving forward, this is going to be a huge consideration, if not a key component to some of these circuits staying alive. And not like you guys, you're in Colorado, you're fishing the Colorado Walleye Association put that on for however many years. And that was like, that was the deal. That was the fun circuit. That's what brought you guys all together. That's what kept you fishing and, you know, all that. And when something like that folds because you can't get volunteers, something as simple as, you know, keeping the volunteers and keeping the equipment going and then you do something like this and it totally rejuvenates. It gets everybody all jacked up again. It's like a new beginning and it's cool.
Yep. Yep, absolutely. And you know, you brought up a good point, and we do recognize the fact that live weigh-ins, right? Lake Erie, they're not as concerned about some of these things as other places, right? They've got this amazing fishery, huge fish. You know, it probably helps them to keep fish in some of these events. We understand the need for that. So we have a function in our app called Director Entry. And so if you want to use the app to keep track of the catches, right, and to be able to add up all of the weights accurately and not have any issues with that, and to be able to collect media, right? So the app allows you to download all of the photos individually if you'd like, or in groups, and all of the videos, so you can use them to post to social media. That's a big deal. Like, you know, you have a 100 field event, you have 100 cameras out on that are high quality on cell phones. And we have a function in there called trophy photo. So you have your measurement photo, you can take a trophy photo, and then you can do then you do your video release. The trophy photo is nothing but a promotional for that fisherman in your event. And so you can download those photos and you can be posting updates during the entire event to your social media platform to draw in more people, more viewers, more fans, more everything, more support, you know, and be able to support your sponsors. So we recognize all of those things, and that's what this app is designed for, as a series tournament app. But the other big thing is if you want to do the director entry, you know, you can still have your live weigh-ins. Somebody can be entering the weigh-in numbers in the app, and the app will organize the entire event for you and keep a live leaderboard, which is a lot of what people want. And so, you know, we recognize that there are other ways to do tournaments, and here, let's give you options and total accessibility in this app, and you know, flexibility to be able to run the your event the way you want it and as easy as you want it. So we do the ultimate walleye derby in Michigan and the ultimate salmon derby, run by the same group of guys. Gabe is an excellent guy. If you guys have never tried it or want to do it, he does a phenomenal job. And you know, he wants to do the live weigh-in, but he wants to know that the fish was caught within bounds. So he uses the geofence. You have to take a measurement picture of the fish, so it's time and date stamped. And it is also GPS stamped, but that's hidden, and available upon request if there's some sort of, you know, debate or a rules violation or something. But he uses it for that to make sure the fish were caught in boundaries. And then they go and they do the live weigh-in, and he enters it in the app and Director Entry, and he keeps a running leaderboard and everything else. And he manages it, you know, 600-700 anglers, manages it no problem. So, yeah, we recognize all that. And like you said, I don't know if it'll ever just go away completely, but if you don't want it to, it doesn't have to. Yeah. So that's the cool part for us is, you know, and it's not something, I'll be honest, not something we ever thought of. You know, we never thought that would be something in the app that was needed until we talk again, right? We talk to all these tournament directors, and you start, you know, talking shop, and they're like, hey, what if it did this? Well, you're like, well, let me see how much it costs to put that in. So, you know, fortunately and unfortunately, because, you know, like I said, we've spent a lot more money on this thing than we ever thought we would, but it's hard for us to let a good idea go by.
There's a couple of questions you and I, we kind of had a little bit of an initial conversation. And I was curious about like the permitting and working with the state departments. And we kind of, there's an interesting topic that came up, that I wasn't, you kind of blindsided me with this, and I thought it was very, very interesting talking about, like sharing the information.
Yes.
With the state departments. Yeah. I kind of want to revisit that. You and I had like a little bit of a conversation about that. I kind of want to jump right into that. So it's kind of a hard turn segue here, but, another cool and interesting thing about the information that you get is like, you're working with a state department, you got to get permits, probably in some cases, these tournament fields, if they're on a single body of water and they've got X amount of boats, they got to work with permits or whatever it is. So working with a state department is nothing new to you. But that is a very interesting element. So I'm just kind of curious about any of the sort of stories along those lines.
We would get requests from Colorado Division of Wildlife, you know, on some of our tournaments, they want us to do a creel seasoning during pre-fish and the tournament. And we always kind of pushed back a little bit because you know, anglers, especially when you're on a bite, they don't want to take the time to do a check mark on, you know, the species, the length, all this other stuff. You know, that's that really is just something they weren't super interested in doing. The collecting of the data that they wanted, we always knew was not very accurate. Guys would come in at the end of the day and be like, how many do you think we caught? 30? Okay. And they'd mark down 30. And, you know, we just thought it wasn't very good information. We knew they wanted it. Some wanted it. Some didn't care. Actually, the state of Nebraska, when we go to Lake McConaughey, which, by the way, shout out to state of Nebraska. They are great as far as giving permits go and very cool. They require it. They require your kind of Creo census type thing, to be able to get a permit. They want to know what you guys caught. So when we were creating the app, we said, you know, like you said, it is difficult to get permits sometimes. And we want to help them out as much as possible. And so to kind of extend the olive branch and sweeten the pot a little on top of giving them our money, we want to, you know, say, hey, we're going to collect all this data. And we want to be about conservation and show you guys that, you know, not only is this a healthy way to catch and release fish quickly, but it's also super important because we want you to know how well this lake is doing. And we want you to know that the 18-inch size limit is working, but now we have too many 17-inch fish and we need to figure something else out or something along those lines. Mm-hmm. So we made it download all of the information, all of the catch rate information is downloadable into an Excel spreadsheet. And it gives, you know, all the information that we have as far as the time of day it was caught, the length, all of that information is available to be downloaded into an Excel spreadsheet and shared with your DNRs. And to be able to, you know, I think it's important, right? Like the DNR sees these cheating scandals. And they don't like the black eye as much as the tournament circuit who had it occur doesn't like the black eye. Mm-hmm. And so for us to continue a healthy relationship with the parks, with the DNR, and to foster that, you know, it's invaluable for them to know just how well that fishery is fishing and see it year after year. So if the Colorado Walleye Trail visits Pueblo Reservoir in the month of April every year, one year we in a 2-day event, we have 460 fish that get put in out of 40 teams or 30 teams. That's not a bad catch rate. But if the next year, all of a sudden, the water level drops, the shad population crashes, and now we only have 180 fish that are put in over a 2-day weekend. You know, of course, weather conditions and things like that are all part of the factor, but that's great information for them to have.
I guess I just hadn't really heard that story before. And again, I'm sure that's, you know, like all this catch photo release stuff, you know, I'm sure that there's contributions, everybody's making contributions in some ways to whatever bodies of water they're on or whatever states they're on. But I just think that's interesting that, you know, you guys can, like, I'm in North Dakota. Mm-hmm. I can start to scheme up a really cool tournament for whatever my motivations are, something charitable or memorial, or I just, you know, something competitive, or it can be ice fishing, open water. Like, I can start to scheme up a tournament or a derby or whatever. And I want to do it catch, photo, release. And you know what? I want to fish in it. And I don't have any experience being a director. And so I can go get subscribe to you guys. You guys can be the ultimate consultation. You can be the directors on tournament day. Mm-hmm. You can be verifying fish and, you know, in real time and do all this stuff. And I can think up whatever special rules that I think are a really good idea for me or for this, whatever tournament I've got, you can plug that in. You can do that yep. too. You don't, you know, no, yep. nobody's beholden to what your rules are.
Right.
Whatsoever. Right. And you've got so many of these things thought out, and it's not just you. You guys are taking in information everywhere you've ever gone, which I think is yep. great. If you're running a business, no great CEO would just think that they're the smartest person in the world. And, you know, like anybody that's ever been successful like that would collaborate and be taking all that in. I think that's a big part of the story that I think is really, really interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And we do, you know, you mentioned the rules, right? Like, you know, since we are tournament directors and anglers, right? And we do our own series and we use this on our own series. You know, we'll give you our rules. For example, you know, we have a big ice fishing tournament coming up in Canada here in a couple of weeks. And, you know, great guys up there. I mean, just, you know, such dedicated sportsmen. I almost feel inadequate sometimes when I talk to them about how much time those guys put in up there. And, you know, but one of the events is, this is his first time running it. And, you know, he says, well, I told him, I said, well, we'll give you the rules we use and you can take them or leave them or take parts of them. I said, it's up to you. And, you know, I think that's the thing we try to do is support anybody that we can in their event. And that goes all the way from the tip top, you know, biggest circuits that we talk to all the way down to, like you said, you got 10 buddies who want to go, you know, you want to put together a derby. Hey, can you guys help us out with the rules and how to set this up? Yep, no problem. Imagine it as like a marketing tool for a bait store, right? You're a bait shop in Minnesota where you're from, and you're not far from a lake. And let's say you're a bait store and maybe even a neighborhood bar and grill. You could hold a Monday night league night with the app at no cost to you. It could be a $20, you know, pot that everybody throws their $20 into before they head to the lake. The goal is to get people into your bait store or get people to your restaurant and bar, right? So imagine saying, okay, everybody has to stop by the bar to put in their $20. You download the app, and you enter the, $20 enters the tournament, pay for the $4.99 a month subscription to the app. And we're off and running, and you do it every Monday night. And, you know, at the end of the, when you all get off the lake, you come back to the restaurant, you come back to the bait store. And so everybody's in there, you know, of course they're going to buy food, they're going to buy baits, they're going to do all that stuff. And then you hand out the winner, you hand out cash to the winners for that night. I mean, imagine the ability to market your establishment through the simple use of this app and putting together a quick derby that everybody will have a good time doing and everybody gets to have fun, hang out. I mean, it's that whole community aspect, right? The whole community side of the chat side of the app, you know, that's the idea. That what a marketing tool that is.
Oh yeah. Yeah. You think about like bait shops historically, like where I grew up, you know, the big fish, you know, all winter long, you'd bring in your big fish and they'd give you a little gift card for whoever won the week. But it like, sure. If you caught a 10 pound walleye, you'd have to bring it in. You'd have to kill that fish.
Yep.
You know, and whatever, you could you do, if you were, how easy is that? Where and the subscription is less than a jig and spoon cost per month. It's like we all spend more on wax worms when we're going fishing,
right?
You know, than the monthly subscription. Yeah, man, I think it's awesome. And obviously, there's so many more avenues and scenarios we could enjoy talking about that this thing offers. But to wrap it up, if we're going to spend a minute or two on a closer, if there is one, What else do we got to touch on as far as the offerings and just sort of the benefits of looking into this particular app? Or maybe we just talk about where people can find it and the resources.
Sure. It's available in any of the app stores. So it's available in, you know, in Apple or Google for Android and Apple products. It's also, if you go to etournamentfishing.com, you can, have a direct link through that to download it. See where it is. Lots of information on the webpage as far as, and we're coming out with, we're actually releasing a new version or submitting it for release today to, upgrade our compression on the videos and the pictures to make sure it goes faster and, always upgrading the app. I guess that's the biggest thing. And that's our promise to everybody who listens to this and who fishes with our product is, we are always going, this is our baby. So we are always going to upgrade this. We are always going to put in and listen to your suggestions. And if it makes sense, if it's financially makes sense, we can do it. We'll put it in. And, I think that's what kind of separates us is, not only will we put it in, but then these poor suckers out here in Colorado, we're going to run it on them. And we're going to run it on our boys in Wyoming and Nebraska. And we're going to, say, hey, what did you guys think of this? Or how did this work for you? And so you're going to get something that is not only, maybe something that came from a suggestion or an idea you had, but it's going to be tested on real fishermen in real situations. And so You know, we're not big tech guys. We're not engineers. We're not somebody trying to, you know, make a buck and sell it. This is our passion. This is us, right? And so, you know, I appreciate the opportunity of coming on here and, you know, you giving us a chance to talk about this because we are the new kid on the block. But I think we're poised to take this industry by storm. And I think we're going to, you know, we're going to come out and we're going to treat everybody the way this sport deserves to be treated. And by people who have grown up doing it.
Yeah, dude. One other question I don't think I ever asked you is like, why would anybody, like if there's a tournament out there, like an existing tournament that is, you know, battling, like, you know, whether it's just, you know, cheating or integrity or just, you know, reputation. Like, is there any reason why anybody would ever, does anybody ever look at your app and decide or what your offerings are and say no, or they're scared of it for any particular reason? Like, why would anybody not want to do something like this?
We have two common fears we have to get past, always, right? And it's always always the same two questions. What about my older competitors? And, you know, and that's always a concern, right? And then what about, you know, there being no service? And so, you know, we talked to Montana quite a bit. We talked to, you know, a lot of places where they're like, well, our service isn't so great. We have an offline mode on this app that is indestructible. You are not going to lose your submissions. Look where we live, right? We have mountains. We're a mile high in Denver. You know, we in Wyoming, we have service issues as well. I mean, we have service issues right in the middle of Denver. So, you know, it is something that we have overcome since the very first second we started to build this app. So we get it. And that's what it's built for. And not only do we get it, but we test it. We go into the mountains. I drive 20 minutes to my left and I'm in the mountains and I have no service. And my entire drive up to some place in the mountains, I'm entering fish, you know, quote unquote fish, right? Mostly pictures of my radio, which I'm sure Anthony appreciates. And then, you know, but I am showing that, you know, I'm testing that this thing works. And then the second I come out of the mountains and I have cell service, all of them go up. All of my submissions go up and they all show up at Anthony, who is our quote unquote tournament director for that test. And so, you know, that is the biggest thing. And then as far as the concern goes, look, I'm no spring chicken and, you know, and we have a ton of people, some of which in our, you know, we do this for Nebraska Walleye Trail. The guys that won the Nebraska Walleye Trail's first event last year were 82 years old. So I'm pretty sure if those two can figure it out, which they did, and they did a great job, I don't think we have any issues.
If you can dial in your side scan settings on a Garmin, you know, yes, it's like you ought to be able to take a picture with your cell phone that,
absolutely.
I think that that's kind of interesting.
Yeah. Some of our biggest fans are our older people and they really enjoy it and they like it. And like I said, ease of use, right? Like we did that not only for the older people, but for the kayak guys, right? You don't have a partner. You don't have all this space to put a fish on the floor of your boat and get everything ready. You know, so everything is, you know, you can do everything with one hand, right? One hand and a good thumb. You know, the buttons light up orange for your next step. I mean, it really is just straightforward because if I'm using it in a tournament, I want it to be simple. And so when I do go out and I test it in my boat and I test a lot of it time by myself, I need to be able to do it by myself. And so that is the goal of everything we do, is to make sure kayak guys, you know, guys from shore, guys on boats, it's not just a boat thing. It's we understand that it goes everywhere. And so, yeah, I mean, all the way down to the colors we use to make sure you understand where to go next is well thought out and tested more times than I can even count. So, yeah, it's a good deal. It's a good deal for everyone. And like I said, we're ready to we threw our hat in the ring and we're ready now to jump in and break the ring. So we're ready to go.
But yeah, man, that being said, if there isn't anything that we haven't already thrown out there, how people can find you or reach you or whatever, then I would say that we're really good on time.
Yeah, sounds good. No, it's great. Thank you. We appreciate it.